American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
It is a good day. This is Mike reporting to you from the internet for Sunday, November 30th, 2014. You are listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global sit-rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening in and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow along with our news stories and check our facts by going to newsreel.ca. This is a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio Talk each and every Sunday afternoon at 1400 hours Pacific Time, or 2 p.m. Well, this is a bit different. I'm currently sitting in a bit of a tent with a tripod and some blankets over my head, trying to keep the echo down on the recording, because this apartment sucks, because there's nothing in this apartment except for me and a table, really. So any sound just kind of echoes. I'm not sure if anybody's picked up on it before, but there's quite a bit of echo when I'm recording this, so I'm trying to cut back on it as much as possible, and honestly, it still sounds like shit. So I got a ranger blanket, and I got a fleece blanket over a tripod with friggin' those night eyes gear ties holding it all together and draped over the laptop, and the microphone's down here with me, and it's friggin' hot and crowded. And I'm still hearing echo, so that's just shit. Anyways, that's just trials and tribulations of me, apparently. So, nothing really going on this week. Got some feedback from, from Satan Smurf, I believe. Let me just check here real quick, because I can't put the password, apparently, for the rant forums. I got on the rant forums, and I just had a message from him. And let's see if I can read it, if I can find it. I can really proud about that. There we go. First, hi, and thanks for doing the show. I would have left a comment on newsreel.ca, but can't figure it out because the newsreel.ca forum sucks. I think I said that in the last episode. It's horrible. I'm going to remove it, I think. It's a waste of space. Anyways, he doesn't mind me reading this on the air, because I'm just going to start doing that from now on with anything I get back. So, not having Gatekeeper might suck, but that just leaves more room for you to get creative and try some experiments, which I'm still trying to come up with, because I'm not that creative at all. Have a joke of the week or a phone interview, which there have been quite a few people who have actually expressed interest in having or in doing guest hosting and stuff on Newsreel, namely a lot of the Rangers. So I'm hoping to get that going here again sometime soon. Probably won't happen until January, I don't think. I don't know. I still have to figure things out and stuff, because I'm not really sure if I'm going to be in Canada again by the beginning of next year. I might be, I might not be. I'm kind of trying to work things out with work. So anyways, sidetracking there. I have a funny story from a first Newsreel. Maybe you can Skype me and record it. I'm not a big contributor, but I've listened to Newsreel for many years and think it deserves to be carried on. Anyway, what I'm saying is I hope you don't quit, and if I come up with anything else, I'll message you here. So that's cool. Yep, you can message me on the rant forums too, because it all goes to my email anyways. So that is pretty cool. Thank you, Satan Smurf, for that. And yeah, I'll be carrying on Newsreel as long as I can, really, as long as I'm, you know, have an internet connection and the equipment to do it. As long as there's people actually listening in too, you know, I guess, because I don't know what my listener base is right now either, so it could be, I know there's at least 3 or 4 people listening every week, or every other week or whatever, so that's good, you know, but aside from that, I have no idea. And I'd also like to kind of get into kind of getting some rant news going on here, like any what's going on with Rant Media itself, with Sean and Sim, and anybody else involved with that project there. I'd like to get some of that stuff on there, but I haven't even talked to them about it yet or anything. I know they're all busy and whatnot, but, you know, if any of the projects come up, I can kind of report on them here So if Sean or Sim or anybody else ever, I mean, is listening, hey, send me your information and I will actually clear it up for you. But if not, I'll be emailing you this week anyways. You can't get away from me that easily. Anyways, aside from the random sidetracks and sitting in a tent here in the front room, let's get into the news. In cyber threat news, thank you to Wagga War for this one. This is on the Symantec website, which if you do not know, Symantec is the people who put out Norton Antivirus. Security response region, top tier espionage tool enables stealthy surveillance. An advanced spying tool, Region, displays a degree of technical competence rarely seen and has been used in spying operations against governments, infrastructure, operators, businesses, researchers, and private individuals. Insert fancy picture of Boolean code. An advanced piece of malware known as Region has been used in systematic spying campaigns against a range of international targets since at least 2008. A backdoor type Trojan, it likes the backdoor. Region is a complex piece of malware whose structure displays a degree of technical competence rarely seen. So I already read that in the top there, apparently. Customizable with an extensive range of capabilities depending on the target, it provides its controllers with a powerful framework for mass surveillance and has been used in spying operations against government organizations, infrastructure operators, businesses, researchers, and private individuals alike. It is likely that its development took months, if not years, to complete, and its authors have gone to great lengths to cover its tracks. Its capabilities and the level of resources behind Region indicate that it is one of the main cyber espionage tools used by a nation state. As outlined in a new technical white paper from Symantec, click on the link there. I think that's a link. Is that a link? Yes, it is. Two links, actually. Backdoor Region. Backdoor dot Region, I guess, is a multi-stage threat, and each stage is hidden and encrypted with the exception of the first stage. Executing the first stage starts a domino chain of decryption and loading of each subsequent stage for a total of 5 stages. Each individual stage provides little information on the complete package. Only by acquiring all 5 stages is it possible to analyze and understand the threat. Insert picture there. This sets up dropper. Stage 1 is a loader. Decryption executes the next stage, which is stage 2. That's a loader 2, I guess. Decryption executes the next stage, which is stage 3. The kernel framework, stage 4. User framework, and stage 5. Payload module, which would be, I guess, the virus itself. Or the horrible, horrible, terrible, evil code that is contained in it. If I understand that properly, and guess what? I'm not a coder or a programmer, so I have no idea what the hell's going on there. But cool, anyways. Figure 1, Region's 5 stages. Okay, over that. Region also uses a modular approach, allowing it to load custom features tailored to the target. This modular approach has been seen in other sophisticated malware families such as Flamer and Weevil, or the Mask, I guess. While the multi-stage loading architecture is similar to that seen in the Dooku Stuxnet family of threats. Timeline and target profile. Region infections have been observed in a variety of organizations between 2008 and 2011, after which it was abruptly withdrawn. A new version of the malware resurfaced from 2013 onwards. Targets include private companies, government entities, and research institutes. Almost half of all infections targeted private individuals and small businesses. Targeted private individuals and small businesses. It's like a double space, and that screwed me up. Attacks on telecom companies appear to be designed to gain access to calls being routed through their infrastructure. Insert fancy pie chart there. Confirmed Region infections by sector. So 48% is private individuals and small businesses, 5% research, 5% airline, 5% energy, 9% hospitality, and 28% telecoms backbone. Infections are also geographically diverse, having been identified mainly in 10 different countries. 28% in Russia, 24% in Saudi Arabia, 5% for pretty much most of the Middle East, Austria, Belgium, India, 5%, Ireland, 9%, Mexico, 9%. Kind of interesting that there's no US in this here, so I'm kind of wondering if this is maybe one of their their cyber weapons, quote unquote, that they're using. Seeing as it's not targeting any of their stuff, according to this. Not a lot, anyways. Must be less than, well, it's got to be less than 5%, according to this by jerk, so. Infection vector and payloads. The infection vector varies among targets and no reproducible vector has been found at the time of writing. And the time of writing on this is November 23rd this year, 2014. I completely zoomed up and I do not know where I left off. Okay, I believe some targets. Yes, Symantec believes that some targets may be tricked into visiting spoofed versions of well-known websites, and a threat may be installed through a web browser or by exploiting an application. On one computer, log files showed that region originated from Yahoo Instant Messenger through an unconfirmed exploit. And seriously, who the hell is still using Yahoo Instant Messenger? Well, so probably got a whole bunch of email on that now too. Region uses a modular approach, giving flexibility to the threat operators. Wait, I gotta go back on this here. Yahoo Instant Messenger, is that still even being updated? I know ICQ is, and other stuff like that, but I know MSN's dead, essentially. Last I checked, or it's been integrated with Link or whatever, and Yahoo's, yeah, whatever. Complete sidetrack again. Region uses a modular approach, giving flexibility to the threat operators as they can load custom features tailored to individual targets when required. Some custom payloads are very advanced and exhibit a high degree of expertise in specialist sectors, further evidence of the level of resources available to Region's authors. There are dozens of Region payloads. The threat's standard capabilities include several remote access Trojan RAT features, or RAT features, such as capturing screenshots, taking control of the mouse's point and click functions. Sorry if I make a lot of noise there. This tent is heating up and it's driving me insane. Such as capturing screenshots, taking control of the mouse's point and click functions, stealing passwords, monitoring network traffic, and recovering deleted files. More specific and advanced payload modules were also discovered, such as a Microsoft IIS web server traffic monitor and a traffic sniffer of the administration of mobile telephone based station controllers. Stealth. Region's developers put considerable effort into making it highly inconspicuous. Its low-key nature means it can potentially be used to espionage campaigns lasting several years. Even when its presence is detected, it's very difficult to ascertain what it is doing. Symantec was only able to analyze the payloads after it decrypted sample files. It has several quote-unquote stealth features. These include anti-forensics capabilities, a custom-built encrypted virtual file system, EVFS. I better stop reading all this stuff fast because I'm choking down my own words. And alternative encryption in the form of a variant of RC5, which isn't commonly used. Region uses multiple sophisticated means to covertly communicate with the attacker, including via ICMP/ping, embedding commands in HTTP cookies, not my cookies, and custom TCP and UDP protocols. Conclusions: Region is a highly complex threat which has been used in systematic data collection or intelligence gathering campaigns. The development and operation of this malware would have required a significant investment of time and resources, indicating that a nation state is responsible. Its design makes it highly suited for persistent long-term surveillance operations against targets. The discovery of Region highlights how significant investments continue to be made into the development of tools for use in intelligence gathering. Symantec believes that many components of Region remain undiscovered and additional functionality and versions may exist. It seems like it's modular and all that stuff. It could be evolving all the time, right? Additional analysis continues and Symantec will post any updates on future discoveries. Further reading, indicators of compromise for security administrators, blah, 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 blah. Click on that link there. Section information, another link. So that's very, very interesting, and I heard about this before, actually. I don't know if it was this week or last week or what it was. And before this week, it was sent in. And looking at it, it's affecting everybody except for the United States. Or it's affecting the United States very little. So it kind of leads me to believe that, yeah, it's probably the big American cyber weapon. Very, very interesting indeed. So, you know, keep your eyes peeled for that. And then, if you ever see something like backdoor.re.region running on your computer, just, you know, burn your computer. I don't know, that's a bit bit much, but whatever. You know what I'm saying, just being sarcastic. In the next story, in Greedy Corporation News, thank you to Bucky Fuller for this. It's been a while since you sent me a link, and I'm grateful that you did. Thanks, Bucky. Anyways, the Marriott fined $600,000 because it's illegal to block Wi-Fi hotspots. Okay. Employees at Marriott's Gaylord Opryland Hotel and Convention Center, I'm assuming this is probably somewhere in Nashville, were using the hotel's Wi-Fi monitoring system to block visitors' access to personal Wi-Fi networks while charging convention exhibitors up to $1,000 per device for access to the Marriott Wi-Fi network. Bastards. That's all I gotta say on that. When a major hotel chain makes money by charging a fee for in-room internet service, it might be tempted to do something that makes it difficult for visitors to use their own Wi-Fi hotspot so that they have little choice but to pay up for the hotel's web access. Thing is, that's against the law. Section 333 of the Communications Act of 1934. Wow, you old people are still got good things going on. 1934 makes it illegal to, quote, willfully or maliciously interfere with or cause interference, unquote, with licensed radio communications Wi-Fi. Is that licensed? Yep. Anyways, I know it's set apart. But in 2013, a visitor to Marriott's Gaylord Opryland Hotel and Convention Center in Nashville, it is in Nashville, claimed that the hotel was, quote, jamming mobile hotspots so that you can't use them in the convention space, unquote. The FCC Enforcement Bureau investigated this allegation, and Marriott ultimately admitted that some of its employees had used containment features of the hotel's Wi-Fi monitoring system to prevent the use of personal Wi-Fi networks. In some cases, employees sent de-authentication packets to the targeted access points, which would dissociate consumers' devices from their own Wi-Fi hotspot access points and thus disrupt consumers' current Wi-Fi transmissions and prevent future transmissions, reads a statement from the FCC, otherwise known as jamming. Meanwhile, some exhibitors at the Gaylord Conference facility were being charged between $250 and $1,000 per device. So I have smartphone and I want to use the internet connection there as opposed to running off the towers, I got to pay $250 minimum $250 to $1,000. No, I don't think so. Screw you. Just to access the hotel's network. In addition, putting an end to the unlawful blocking of Wi-Fi signals, Marriott must pay a civil penalty of $600,000. Honestly, Marriott makes a lot of money. They should be charged a lot more than that. Let's say $6 million. That'd be a better number, really. Or even more. But $6 million should be times by 10, good to go. Consumers who purchase cellular data plans should be able to use them without fear that their personal internet connection will be blocked by their hotel or conference center, unquote, said Enforcement Bureau Chief Travis LeBlanc. It is unacceptable for any hotel to intentionally disable personal hotspots while also charging consumers and small businesses high fees to use the hotel's own Wi-Fi network. This practice puts consumers in the untenable position of either paying twice for the same service or forgoing internet access altogether. So yeah, just a big douchebag move. Oh well, blah blah blah. Santi Mary is covering her ass here. Oh yes, there were some people that working there and they did this and blah blah blah. Well, yeah, but where's that command come from? Probably up high, right? So seriously, I find them more. That's just stupid. Oh, it's a train going by, apparently. Yep. Anyways, into the next story. Thank you, the Wagga War, for this one. Utah lawmaker. What's the name of it? In Fight Back News. Okay, there we go. Utah lawmaker wants to shut off the NSA's water supply for good. The bill bans aid between any federal agency that collects electronic data. State on the end of that means, but whatever. A bill is moving forward in the Utah state legislature that aims to eventually shut down water to the NSA's new massive data storage facility at Bluffdale, just south of Salt Lake City. Interesting. On Wednesday, the Public Utilities and Technology Interim Committee discussed the bill that prohibits cooperation between a federal agency that collects electronic data and any political subdivisions of the state. Representative Representative or Republican Anyways, Rep. Mark Roberts, the bill's author, click on the link there for on his name, did not immediately respond to ours. This is ours technical article. He responded to ours request for a comment. As currently drafted, the bill would let the Bluffdale contract with the NSA continue until it runs out. In this desert state, water has been a key issue at the Bluffdale site, particularly since a Salt Lake Tribune reporter, click on the link there, Nate Carlisle, has been actively trying to figure out how much water the NSA uses in the Beehive State. Earlier this year, the Tribune published data showing that since July 2013, the facility used 6.2 million gallons of water in a month. So times that by 12, that's a big number, I'm not doing that in my head. The highest single month in more than 2 years of data. Okay, so that was the largest in that time. For that, the NSA paid $28,596 monthly to the city of Bluffdale, the minimum bill amount. Under the two entities' water contract, that minimum bill jumped to $31,692 as of 2014. However, since July of 2013, the monthly water usage fell again in 2014, reaching a low point of 2.8 million gallons as of February 2014, the most recent data point. In October 2013, the Wall Street Journal reported that the Utah Data Center, had experienced 10 electrical meltdowns in the past 13 months. That's pretty bad. Holy crap. The paper added that the Utah State continuously draws 65 megawatts of power, which could power a small city of at least 20,000 people. Bluffdale itself is a small city of 8,000 people, and it's also the headquarters Apostolic United Brethren, a Mormon fundamentalist group. Okay, I'm not really sure what the hell that has to do with how many people in the city, but whatever. The NSA has not responded to our repeated requests to find out whether the facility is operational. And that was from November 20th, I don't know. So it's very interesting that they want to shut the power down. Very interesting indeed. Because why would you make... I don't know. Here's the thing, the NSA... Sorry. Coughing and choking all over the place again. Here's the thing, why would you build a big, big, huge facility that's, you know, full of electronics and stuff, right? And, you know, surveillance equipment and all that crap. Why would you build that in the middle of the desert? I understand there's no moisture in the desert, so that would be beneficial, yes, but then the heat and, you know, all this other crap, you know, it's warmer there, so you're going to need more water, obviously, for the people in the building, et cetera, whatever else you're using water for. I don't know, liquid cooling? I don't think you use regular water for that for your systems, but I could be wrong. Maybe they are. Why would the hell they build that in the middle of the desert? Anyways, yay sidetracks. And in exploding shit news, I shit you not. Yes, I shit you not. This is actually about shit exploding. Thank you to Bucky Fuller for this. Exploding. This is from November 24th. This article. Exploding excrement topples building in China, injuring 15. Yeah. Shit bombs. Beijing, a cesspool filled with excrement has exploded in central China, injuring 15 people and knocking down a building, state-run media reported. The blast was apparently sparked by a local man burning waste close to the cesspool. Yeah, that's a smart idea. Igniting methane gas, which was emanating from the pit. And if it's anything like what I'm visualing in my head, it's a pit full of piss and shit and all this other fancy shit. And yeah, it's going to be venting methane and probably a whole bunch of other stuff too. So yeah, very smart. The Xinhua news agency said late on Sunday, the incident in Zhangshuashua City, I'm sorry, I do not speak Chinese and I cannot articulate my tongue around that word, so I'm sorry. The incident in Z City for you Americans, in the central province of Hunan, whatever, caused a residential building to collapse and three of the injured had to be hospitalized, Xinhua said. China's urban infrastructure has often been hastily built with little regard for safety as hundreds of millions of people have moved from the countryside to cities in recent decades. Just like everywhere else on the planet. In another excrement-related incident, A man and his mother both died trying to retrieve his wife's new mobile phone worth 2,000 yuan, it's around $320 American, from a toilet septic tank, report said in May. The man jumped in to try to locate the phone, but was overcome by fumes. Yeah, you jumped in a septic tank with no proper respiratory gear. You would probably pass out. According to Dahe, whatever that is, a web portal run by the provincial government in central Hunan province. Hunan. That could be a typo. I don't know. But very interesting. So the moral of the story is this. I guess if you're ever in a situation where the shit just goes to a big hole, really, I guess if you don't have any other option of disposing it properly, you should dispose of it properly. Maybe trench it out somewhere else or something like that, or vent it at least, so that you don't blow your fucking apartment building to pieces and kill everybody else inside. What the hell? And also, don't burn shit. Don't burn garbage and other stuff beside the big pile of shit, I guess. Like, what the fuck? That's just so stupid. Anyways, and I'm sure that's not just something that's contained to just China. It's probably happening with outhouses and shit here too, so in North America. So, you know, seriously, whatever. And it's time to spread fear, uncertainty, and doubt news. Thanks to Wagga War for this one. That's another Ars Technica article. Beefed up iPhone crypto, which would be cryptography, will lead to a child dying, Department of Justice warned Apple executives. Apple is marketing, quote, marketing the criminals, U.S. number two cop says. Number two. The number two official at the Justice Department recently warned top Apple executives that stronger encryption encryption protections added to iPhones would lead to a horrific tragedy, such as a child dying, because police couldn't access a suspect's device, the Wall Street Journal reported on Wednesday. The beefed up protections Apple recently disclosed, clicking the link there, mean that even when company officials are served with a court order, they will be unable to retrieve potentially crucial evidence such as photos, messages, or contacts stored on iPhones and iPads. Instead, the data can be accessed only by people who know the passcode that serves as the encryption key. Which, yeah, that's a good idea, really. Also, I believe Android has that, probably a bit different, but whatever. Actually, I know they have that because I was looking it up today. I don't know if they got shit for it yet, but Justice Department officials wasted no time objecting to the changes and used the scenario of a child being kidnapped and murdered to drive home their claim that Apple was, quote, marketing the criminals. According to the WSJ, this is the Wall Street Journal, I guess. Yeah, because there's another link there from the Wall Street Journal. Justice Department officials, including Deputy Attorney General James Cole, met with Apple General Counsel Bruce Sewell, whatever your name is, and two other company employees on October 1st, reporters Devlin Barrett, Danny Yadron, and Daisuke Wakabayashi, that's a name and a half, gave the following account, which they attributed to the recollections of people who attended. Okay, I'm going to read this thing now. In his fourth floor conference room, Mr. Cole told the Apple officials they were marketing the criminals. At one point, he read aloud from a printout of Apple's announcement, quoting a section in which the company said that under the new system, Apple couldn't cooperate with a court order to retrieve data from a phone, even if it wanted to. Mr. Cole offered the Apple team a gruesome prediction that some future date, a child will die. And police will say they would have been able to rescue the child or capture the killer if only they could have looked inside a certain phone, which is a load of shit, because honestly, if all the information is on the phone, let's say the guy whips the phone into the bottom of, I don't know, a river. You know, good luck finding that fucking phone. And then you still can't get the data off it anyways, because it's under, you know, 60 feet of water in a fast current river, you know? So, like, here's another example for you, idiots of the DOJ. Where did I leave off of that there? His statements reflect a concern within the FBI that a careful criminal can shield much activity from police surveillance by minimizing use of cell phone towers and not backing up data. Or they can just not put the shit on the phone in the first place, so you're looking at something in vain. you're looking in vain for something, I should say. The Apple representatives viewed Mr. Cole's suggestion as inflammatory and inaccurate, which, of course, it is. Police have other ways to get information, they said, including call logs and location information from cell phone carriers. In addition, many users store copies of a phone's data elsewhere. During the hour-long meeting, Mr. Sewell, whatever your name is, said Apple wasn't marketing to criminals, but to ordinary consumers who store growing amounts of data about themselves on smartphones and increasingly suspicious and are increasingly suspicious of tech companies. Many of those customers are outside the U.S., the Apple representative said, where phone users want to shield information from governments that are less respectful of individual rights. Also, at the same time, yeah, it's for individuals too. But at the same time, let's say you have a company phone and you have proprietary company data, like patent stuff or whatever, you know? Then you want to have that shit encrypted. So it kind of goes both ways on that, right? So, if the government wants more information from Apple, the company representative said it should change the law to require all companies that handle communications to provide a means for law enforcement to access the communications. Mr. Cole predicted that would happen after the death of a child or similar event. Prior to changes introduced in iOS 8, Apple had the means to pull data off of a locked phone, and according to the WSJ, Wall Street Journal, the company helped police do just that when it was served with a valid court order. Under the latest iOS version, the data can be recovered only by knowing the passcode. Passcodes that are sufficiently long and complex make it infeasible for Apple or anyone else to crack. U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder recently said it was worrisome that tech companies were adding default encryption to consumer electronics, which is a load of shit. Apple, they just want to spy on people and have an easy job of doing it, even though they could technically still spy on people even with the encryption. They'll find a way around that shit, one way or another, but whatever. Apple CEO Tim Cook recently pushed back at a Wall Street Journal conference saying, look, if law enforcement wants something, they should go to the user and get it. It's not for me to do that. And here's the thing. This is what I think. With the scenario that the FBI or Department of Justice, whoever, gave at the Apple execs there. Oh, a child could die. They could be kidnapped. They could be murdered. And we won't be able to do anything. It'd be all your fault. Well, if you have the guy and you have his phone, you can't get into his phone, you still have the guy. So honestly, this is what I personally think. If you know for sure, and like he's like, oh yeah, fuck, I'm guilty, but you never find him, ha ha ha, motherfuckers. If you know that they've taken a kid and put them somewhere or whatever, the kid's gonna die. I'm sorry, it comes down to like a battlefield situation. Torture the motherfucker, waterboard the motherfucker, get the information out of him. You know, shoot him in the kneecap, shoot him in the shoulder or something, shoot him in the stomach even. I don't know, like, fuck, get the information out of him any way you can. At least you're trying. So that's how I feel about that one. And so that's all for that story there. So we got two more stories here in InfoSec News. This is from The Telegraph. Facebook can gain direct access to your mobile. So that's your mobile phone, cell phone, whatever, and take pictures or make videos at any time, the MPs warn. The MPs on the Science and Technology Select Committee called for the government to draw up new guidelines for websites and apps explaining clearly how they use personal data, warning that laws will be needed if companies fail to comply. Give me a quick second here. I gotta vent this friggin' tent. It's getting hot in here. Oof. La 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 la. Intermission time, people. Alright, put the blanks down again. Facebook can gain direct access to a person's mobile and take pictures or make videos at any time without explicit consent. MPs warn as they call on social media companies to simplify their terms and conditions. The MP said that they should simplify the conditions of using their services, which are designed for U.S. courts, because they are so impenetrable that no reasonable person, quote unquote, can be expected to understand them. The MPs on the Science and Technology Select Committee called for the government to draw up new guidelines for websites and apps explaining clearly how they use personal data, warning that laws will be needed if companies fail to comply. The committee highlighted terms for Facebook Messenger's mobile app, used by more than 200,000 million people a month. That means it can gain direct access to a mobile phone or tablet, including to take pictures or making videos at any time without explicit confirmation from the order. I already read that. Well, why the hell would you put the freaking thing at the top here if you're going to read through the whole thing again? MPs also pointed to the criticism of the company earlier this year after it carried out a psychological experiment that recorded users' moods as news feeds on the social network were manipulated. Andrew Miller, MP, the committee's chairman, said Facebook's experiment with users' emotions highlighted serious concerns about the extent to which ticking the terms and conditions box can be said to constitute informed consent. When it comes to the varied ways data is now being used by many websites and apps. How much longer is this article? I hate this one already. let's face it, most people click yes to terms and conditions contracts without reading them because they are often laughably long and written in the kind of legalese you need a law degree from the USA to understand. Socially responsible companies wouldn't want to bamboozle, that's the actual word there, wouldn't want to bamboozle their users, of course. So we are sure most social media developers will be happy to sign up to the new guidelines on clear communication and informed consent that we are asking the government to draw up. He added, a line also needs to be drawn between the information that apps actually need to provide a service and the kind of personal information they often request when registering new users, information that is becoming increasingly valuable in our network society. And that reminds me of whenever I download I run an Android phone, a newer one. When you download an app, it's like, okay, and it asks you, do you agree to the app using all these different permissions? Obviously, if it's going to connect to the internet, you need to have internet connection, so you have to approve that, and then it needs some of them request your microphone. It's okay if it's a sound recording app, right? I have one of those on my phone made by Sony, I think, or something stupid like that. It's a nice app. And obviously, it needs to use your microphone in order to function. Otherwise, it doesn't do anything because it doesn't have microphone permissions. But there's other things. There's like flashlight apps out there. And just for example, because I downloaded one of these before. And my wife said, oh, it's awesome, you should use it, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, fine, let me check it out here first. And I went to install it, came up with the install screen. It's like, oh, it needs all these permissions. It's like, why the hell does a flashlight app need a data connection? Why the hell does the flashlight app need my camera functionality or my microphone functionality or my GPS functionality? It's a camera app. It's a flashlight app. So what the hell? So I went through, I think I went through about 10 or 15 of them until I found one that actually did not require any permissions. It was just a flashlight app. So that's what's installed on my computer or on my Android now. But anyways. Yay. He added a lot of this. Is that network society? I already read that. I hope that a voluntary system of guidelines can work because if not, legislation might be needed. The company also criticized the government's handling of plans to compile patients' medical records on a centralized database under the controversial Care Data Project, which sparked concerns from patients' rights groups and doctors over privacy. It said the project was a clear example where this trusted relationship failed to develop. A Facebook representative declined to comment, but a source said, we recently updated our terms and policies to make them simpler and easier to read. Probably not by a lot. This is the thing. It's only easy to read if your 95-year-old grandmother or great-grandmother could read it and understand it without her head exploding. From aneurysm or whatever. I'm not going to talk about kids because they don't even understand shit half the time anyways. But yeah, if you're 85, 95-year-old grandmother can understand it and know what the hell's going on with it after she reads like a few paragraphs, one paragraph even is what it should be really, then awesome. If not, then you need to redo your terms, conditions, contract shit. Your legalese, so to say. We also launched a new site to help people understand how they can control their Facebook experience. Example, using their privacy settings and tagging people. On the broader data use use point, then worth flagging that Facebook has been subject to a full and thorough review of our data protection and privacy policies by the Irish Data Protection Commissioner in 2011 and then in 2012. The Data Protection Commissioner noted that Facebook had implemented the recommendation of the DPC as set out in the audit report, and indeed, in many instances, went beyond some of their initial recommendations and are fully committed to best practice in data protection compliance, supposedly. So, so Facebook is just fucking evil. So, Facebook is really just a cover for some government agency somewhere, probably the NSA, because guess what? What is it? Facebook. Okay, and they want to take, pictures and video and all that crap of your pocket, apparently, or the inside of your purse, whenever they want, that's fine. But what is Facebook? It's, I'll put pictures of you and your friends up and then tag them. That seems like a, and obviously all the stuff that you post and stuff is kind of, can be taken and put into, a psychological profile, according to this, something happened last year. So this, this is your friend. This is Bob here, and this is Jerry over there, and this is Linda, and this is Betsy. Do people need to know that? No. The government has the information on hand. They don't need to know what you do. They know that you're born. They know that you're married. They know that you're, working, employed or whatever. All that stuff's done through the government. When you work and all that crap, income tax and all that fun stuff, getting married, when you're born, it's all registered through the government. They do not need, that's all they need to know. They don't really need to know that, I guess, but they do. But any more than the basics, they do not need. Nobody needs that kind of fucking information. They do not need to know when you go to work, what time you get to work, if you're late every day, or if you're early every day, or if you went down to Jerry's coffee shop for 23 minutes and 46 seconds, get a coffee and sit down and drink, read your newspaper, and then leave again. This with Facebook and Twitter and all this other shit. Very valuable tools, yes, but they're not designed for that. It's designed for data collection on the populace, and it's just fucking insane. So I have Facebook personally, but it's a tool. I don't put all my shit up on there. Worst I do is I like shit, but that's about it. And even though they can develop a psychological profile off that, I might just start clicking on My Little Pony links and Barbie links and stuff like that, and see what how I can fuck up their psychological profile and like and share all that shit. Ha ha ha! Facebook, fuck you. And Google, to the same extent, really. And all of those other companies, Twitter, etc. And the last story for this day. I saw this one today. It's from yesterday, actually. Venezuela prison overdose. Sorry, this is in Natural Selection News, of course, because it's just awesome. Venezuela prison overdose kills 35. I insert a picture of, I'm assuming that's a Venezuelan prison. Yeah, prisons in Venezuela are known to be overcrowded, and that's I guess the basketball court / soccer court. I guess it's a mixed court there. Got two nets, and it's full of inmates. But that could be just lunchtime. Who knows? 35 prisoners in Urabana have died after consuming too many drugs when they raided the prison infirmary. 100 others are also in care, with 20 being seriously sick. The prisoners rioted and broke into the medicine cabinet. Is it just a medicine cabinet? Let's say the infirmary. And broke into the infirmary. They began to consume a cocktail of drugs until they all became very sick. Relatives of the prisoners have claimed they were poisoned by the guards. Heck, that could be too, really. And Venezuela has one of the highest figures of crime in Latin America, and the system is having a hard time dealing with the amounts of prisoners. Most prisons in Venezuela are controlled by inmates. That's a bit of a scary thought. I guess it's kind of like a police your own type thing, though, if they can't get out. But with access to weapons, the officers having little to no control. So I find that kind of cool, is that they raided the infirmary and drug themselves up with some random combination of drugs, and 35 of them died. 20 of them are seriously sick, and 100 other people are being looked at. Wow, yeah, that's natural selection in action right there. I'm sorry. You're such an idiot. I need my fix. Oh, yeah, you just killed yourself. So, yeah, I guess it's all for the best. As I hit the table again, this stupid freaking tent. I'm not doing this setup again with the freaking tripod tent thing over my head. This is stupid and hot. I don't know how hot it is in here, but it's freaking hot. Luckily, I drank lots of water this morning. And that's it for the news. So we have a daily hack today sent in from by Kevin is a Geek called Doxing Defense. Remove your personal information from data brokers. That's a good bit of a read. But I'll just read the first few paragraphs. Many women gamers... Sorry. There's a thing right there. Don't want your home address or other personal information published to the world? This weekend, take an hour or two to make yourself a less visible target. Many women gamers and developers, as well as those who support them, have lately come under attack from online trolls. Click on the link there. A common intimidation tactic that trolls use is doxing, or publicly exposing their target's personal details, including home address, phone number, and even financial records. Doxing is often accompanied by threats of violence, sexual assault, or murder. Yeah, that's really mature. The message is clear. We're out to get you, and we know where you live. Some women in tech have left their chosen profession rather than deal with continued threats. But anyone is susceptible to doxing, as game developer Phil Fish discovered this summer after speaking up in defense of a female developer. As the host of a feminist podcast, I decided to take the precaution of trying to remove public records of my whereabouts. Fortunately, doxers do not have to work very hard to find a victim's personal information. A number of free and paid services known as data brokers create profiles of vast numbers of individuals based on aggregated data from business directories, social media, and other public records. With a specific target in mind, all a doxer has to do is search one or more of these services to find the data that he or she wants. Or, all you really have to do is just open up a phone book, really. I guess this is the modern-day version of that. More bad news, there are hundreds of data brokers, not all of which offer opt-out processes. Exceptions are made for state-mandated protected groups, such as sexual assault survivors in California. Removing yourself from all those that do can be a... Sisyphean task? But managing your data with just the following 11 can be accomplished in an hour or two. I'm not going to read the rest of that, but there's... links with the things like Spokio, peoplepipl.com, and got a link to their opt-out form, so I guess you fill that out, send it to them, and blah 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 blah, and I guess the review of the opt-out process. So check that out, good for everybody to use. And honestly, another thing about this here, who the fuck would sit there and, oh, well, they're women and blah, blah, blah. They're like, what the fuck is wrong with people? There's still people this day and age that think that women are a fucking low-life degenerate people, that they're lower than the male population, which they are not. Holy fuck, they're like light years ahead of the male population, really. It's just they were suppressed for so long. And unfortunately, that bullshit is still in the mind of a lot of dipshits. And, well, I was going to say in America. North America, but it's all over the fucking place. It needs to fucking stop. The same thing with the fucking racism. Those are fucking idiots. Get the fuck over it. The it's just a difference in gender or a difference in skin color. I guess people get fucking scared of it or something like that. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? If you are scared of it, go fucking move somewhere else. You know, like, in the woods, and do that for the rest of your life so you don't have to be in contact with people. Because, like, fuck. This isn't the Middle Ages or the Dark Ages or whatever. Well, you can't do that shit. None of that. So, fucking rant. Okay, that's it for the Daily Hack. And into Cyberpunk Kit. This is sent in by WoggleWar. It is called Detect. Which is a new malware detection tool that can expose illegitimate state surveillance, because we all know that the state, or multiple states or governments, do have software out there. And this kind of goes in with, what is it there? One of the articles I had earlier there. So, The Regen article, the first article in Cyber Threat News. It kind of goes in with that. So, blah, blah, blah. Software like this is designed to evade detection by its victims. That would be the bad software, that is. That's why we've joined together to support Detect, a new malware detection tool developed by security researcher Claudio Guarnieri. Detect is an easy-to-use... Okay, there's a lot of background noise here now. Somebody's running the water in one of the next apartments. Detect is an easy-to-use open-source tool that allows users to check their Windows PCs for signs of infection by surveillance malware. Malware that we know is being used, click on the link there, by governments to spy on activists and journalists. Some of the software used by states against innocent citizens is widely available on the internet, while more sophisticated alternatives are made and sold by private companies and sold to governments everywhere from the United States and Europe to Ethiopia and Vietnam. That's just an excerpt of the whole thing. There's a link to resistsurveillance.org, I guess it's Detect's homepage. Click on that, go from there. And we also have some Wrecking Media. First two were sent in by Juver. Haven't heard from you in a while, Juver. Thanks a lot for the links. Testing World War II German exploding ammunition. So you shoot the guy and then it enters his body and explodes. I actually saw most of the video on that. It's pretty cool. So take a look at that. There's also a slow motion version, or a high speed version, I guess, whatever you want to call it. So very cool. And from Wagga War, we have Security Now, episode 483. This is related to the first news story about the Regen state-sponsored malware crap that's going on. I did not listen to it. There are two MP3 downloads there. I believe they're the same thing, just different bit rates. I could be wrong. And there's a whole transcript of the episode there as well. So very cool. But I guess that's it. So that's all we have for you today. But don't worry, we will be back next week to make sure you get the news that you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. If you cannot donate to the show, please distribute. But if you can donate, please do so by clicking on the Donate tab on the Rant Media website, which is on the homepage there. Thank you to the Army of the Flying Monkeys and their assistance in gathering data. If you have information, music, or comments that you'd like to send to us, you can reach us at newsreel2@gmail.com. Or you can send us the information through our website at newsreel.ca, which you can still, because that link's still, that form is still up there. So it might come down, it might not. But anyways, you can still get me at newsreel2@gmail.com. If you like the music in the background, please be sure to check out an album called The Art of Revenge by XP8. We'll be fading out now with a track from Covenant called 20 Hertz. Remember everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we are at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
Constantly in transit, we just wanna go home. tones, stolen jests of darling, who turned the test to dust. This is the final journey, it's the end of the line. Constantly in transit, where is one go? Just the stars beneath my feet, across the crowd.